Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Ready to dive into a world of sizzling stories, boozy banter, and bookish delights? Look no further, because Cocktails and Cliterature Podcast is here to serve up the spiciest content you crave. Join Cocktails and Cliterature as they chat with your favorite authors like Sierra Simone, Laura Thalassos, and Jennifer L. Armentrout, sharing their juicy tales and the secrets behind their scorching stories. It's not just a podcast, it's a girl chat where they unapologetically and shamelessly indulge in the litlicious world of spicy romance for book lovers on their Wind Down Wednesdays. Cocktails and Cliterature is all about those hot topics, and they're not holding anything back. From steamy book reviews to the sauciest bookish details, they've got it all. Give them a listen at Cocktails and Cliterature, a romance novel podcast, anywhere you listen to podcasts to join the party. Get ready to have some flirty fun, because they are bringing the heat.
Welcome back, lady listeners.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We have a brand new book from Angelina M. Lopez, which I'm so excited about. She wrote one of my favorite books last year. Well, I read it last year, but it's called Lush Money.
Yes,
and
I remember that.
I gushed and gushed and gushed about this book. And we had her on the podcast too, and I begged her to come back. And she was like, I actually sent her an email earlier this year, and I was like, would you like to come back on the podcast and do another book? And she was like, I really don't have time. Like, my schedule's so busy. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. But I just want you to know, like, Lush Money was my favorite book last year. And she was like, okay, what week do you have? I was like, I may have begged her to do this and maybe guilted her a little bit, but I'm not sorry, because I am so excited to listen to this book.
I know. Even just the title, oh, and God, that it's in a library. I'm like, yes.
Oh my God. It's called In the Stacks. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the bio now, because it's so short. But it says, when an exhausted academic tries to get a little private time in the far back stacks of the library, a handsome construction worker stops her before she's discovered. Then he offers to help her out. Jesus. It's like, that's not favorite. Like, this is so hot. I cannot wait. She writes such good dirty books. I love her. All right, well, we'll talk about more about her stuff in just a couple of minutes, but we'll catch up first. There is, like, I don't know, I have so much stuff going on in my house right now, and I guess it's just that time of year, you know, where it's like we're in that weird space between like Thanksgiving and Christmas, where I feel like I'm in a rush all the time. But I don't know. It's like, maybe I'm delusional and there's more time, but I keep thinking like Christmas is tomorrow, and I'm like, oh my God, I have to get everything done now. And I'm like, it's not even December 1st. I mean, when this comes out, it will be, but yeah.
You have a lot of Christmas stuff to put out though.
I do, but my in-laws came for Thanksgiving, and you know, my in-laws and my parents, we decided to start rotating Christmas and Thanksgiving each year, just to try to make it fair. So like, we both get to see our families on a holiday and that kind of thing. So my in-laws came for Thanksgiving, so I knew they wouldn't be here for Christmas. My husband's family, they like seeing all the trees and stuff. So I actually did everything before they got here for Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I put up all my trees. I have like this huge snow village. I've got 8 trees up right now. Snow village, my mantle, stockings, everything is hung and done inside the house. The outside still needs to be done, but I got it all done early because I was like, well, they'll be here for Thanksgiving and it'll be a good excuse. That way it's done and I don't have to think about it. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, I still have to do like gifts and, you know,
I can imagine if everything's out right now, you're probably like, oh my God, Christmas. Yeah, I could see
that. That's what it feels like. I think I'm just like stressed. I've stressed myself out by planning ahead too far. And now I'm like, oh my God, everything's happening so fast.
My mom does it smart on Thanksgiving because she has so much stuff. She likes to go down to her storage and bring it all up before everybody leaves. Like,
that's
after
so good.
Over, she's like, everybody has to go down. And she's got like 20 boxes.
And everybody grab it.
Yeah, so everybody got to go up and down, bringing up boxes.
Oh man, that's so smart. Mm-hmm. God, she's a smart lady. She knows what she's doing.
She does.
You know, my grandmother, I remember she had like a downstairs basement, like lounge area. It was finished, but there was like a storage room off to the side.
That's what they have.
And she would keep the tree decorated. She would wrap the tree in like a big sheet thing every year. And so she would kind of do the same thing. Like after Thanksgiving, she was like, can you pull the tree out? And it was literally like you just scooted across the floor and it's already decorated. Like just plug it up. And that was it. I was like, okay. I mean, she had the room, so it wasn't bad. It was, but we really didn't have to go that far for the tree. You know, like I have to say, like, I've gotten pretty good with all my stuff. I have a lot of boxes because I have a lot of trees, but I'm very organized about it. And I have a system. So I have like hand trucks that can lay down and they have like wheels, you know, where it can lay down and be flat. And so I put all the trees every year when I take them down, I put all the trees back in the box they came in.
Okay.
So that they all have their own box and I can stack them up on the hand trucks and I can just wheel it from my front door all the way around to my basement in the back and then just walk it into my basement.
Oh no, my mom's are downstairs and she has a circle stair.
Oh, fuck that shit.
So that's... you gotta like carry like around a curb. You're going like,
oh, that sucks. Is that the only way to get in and out of her basement is through those stairs?
I mean, you could go outside. I guess you could pull up the gator to the back and we could take it out and then you could drive it around to the front.
Yeah. That's what I started doing that because we have like one narrow set of wood stairs and it was the same thing. I was like, I am dragging these boxes up, these tiny, I'm going to fall and kill myself. And I was like, wouldn't it just be easier if I walked them out the front door and like wheeled them around to the garage and like walked it in there? Like it would just, it made so much more sense to like wheel it down a hill into the basement versus taking it up and downstairs. So, and then since each tree has its like own decorations, I have a box for every every tree's decorations and they're all labeled. So I know that like, okay, this is the Harry Potter tree. This is like the under the sea tree. This is the,
you know what I just pictured?
What?
I pictured, cause you know, you had the toilet tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just picturing how like the next pandemic, when all the toilet paper is out, you're like downing. Yeah.
Like digging. Yeah. Yeah. That's what somebody said when I put it up last year, they were like, that tree would have been in the pandemic, it would have been an embarrassment of riches to hang, to just have so much toilet paper that you hang it from a Christmas tree.
She has, if nobody knows, Leah had a tree in one of her bathrooms.
And yeah,
had,
like, I have one in there.
Toilet paper things on it. It was adorable.
It has like huge rolls of toilet paper stuffed in the tree and snowballs. And it's in the bathroom. It's so cute. Somebody said I should add like tampons and stuff to it. And I was like, that would be cute, but it's all white. So I was like, I got to find like white tampons. We have to stick with a theme, guys. Okay. Don't get crazy. But yeah, no, it's really fun. But I, you know, and my mother-in-law made a comment. She was like, you know, I remember you said one time you thought, you know, like people who had multiple trees were just high maintenance. And I was like, I don't feel like that's something I ever would have denied, like that I was high maintenance in the tree department. But I was like,
just because I say somebody's like, I'm like, she's doing that, she's a brat, it does not mean I don't do it. And I don't claim to not be a brat.
Yeah. I'm like, I never said that I wasn't that way. I'm just stating facts here. Okay. So like, you know, it's one of those things, but I kind of just laughed it off. And I was like, you know, when the kids don't care is when I'll stop doing it. You know, and I like it. I enjoy having all the trees. Like, it is definitely for my benefit to do it. Mm-hmm. But the kids absolutely love it. They get so excited. And, like, they come down and turn them all on in the morning before school. And it's like, I know that they love it. And I'm like, there's only so many years you get that magic with them, you know, when they're little. You know, and they're still, you know, one's 12 and one's 9. Like, I don't got that much longer. Like, I'm trying to.
We already did our kids. Peyton wanted something really expensive and Isabel wants cash.
Wow.
So I'm just like, okay.
Merry fucking Christmas. No, I'm just kidding. No. But no, I get it. I mean, you have different needs. Like, as an adult, I want a suitcase full of money. Like, I don't want a, you know, a bunch of gifts under the tree. You just give me a giant bag of cash and I'm happy. That's all I need to give me my Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you know, you said that you already did your kids, but do you have anything that you're asking for Christmas this year? Is there a want that you're going to be like,
no,
hey, gotta get it?
No, I already declared that our Christmas, my birthday from the last year to this year around, because me and my friend each went and bought Taylor Swift concert tickets together.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that is like all of my gifts for the year.
Yeah, for the year. that's a pretty hefty gift.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't get anything else this year. I don't want nothing for Mother's Day, any of that. I'm buying these Taylor Swift tickets for myself.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Like, you know, I have a list that I keep on Amazon for, you know, and I have like one for the kids and stuff where they mention things. I like put it on there. And a lot of times I'll just put those as placeholders. I won't even get them off Amazon. I'll just put something on there and be like, oh yeah, I need to go look for that. Like what my youngest one wants a new mirror for her room. And I was like, I just put it on there and I was like, oh yeah, I need to go. I don't want to order that because it's probably going to come broken. So I'm like, I would just rather go buy that mirror.
My huge mirror came from online.
Did you really? Your big one you got? That's the one that like leans against the wall. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. I ordered when we were doing our house, I ordered like the chandelier that's in like our, you know, living room, and it came broken and it was the only one. And they were like, they ended up giving me like a huge discount on it. And so like and then I ordered like one of those mirrors that have like the bulb lights, like the Hollywood lights on it for like my vanity. And that came broken twice. I got it broken and sent it back and got it back broken again.
I ordered one of those online too. Mine came fine. Maybe it's where you are or something.
I know. I'm like, I don't know, but my boxes are always like thrown out in on the porch. So I'm not shocked that it's my delivery people versus yours, but
we actually have a good delivery system because even like on Amazon, I can get stuff. I live out in the country and I can order stuff in the morning. I was ordering things and it said for $2, I could get it by like 2 o'clock today. But my friend Jeanette, who lives in Jersey, it's like 36 hours to get anything. I'm like, I must just be by like a big distribution.
Like a hub. Yeah. Yeah. Something. For sure. Something.
And it's not congested or something. Probably. I mean, we live in the middle of the country.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're in a good spot for that kind of thing. But yeah, I've had bad luck with a couple ordering like glass things through like either Amazon or online or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't think I'm going to do it. But anyway, I have one that I keep for myself when I think of stuff I want. Like I really want a new coffee pot. You know, ours is okay. Like we did French press for a while and it actually hurt my stomach after a while because it was just like the grounds in it just were like not getting filtered out enough. So we just have been using like our shitty basic backup coffee pot and I want to get a new one. Like I'd like to go back to doing a French press, but to do one that's like a better filtered system. But I'm like, I've just had the thought this year. I'm like, I always ask for practical gifts. I was like, I should really ask for something that I really would never buy myself because I'll buy myself a coffee pot, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't done it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to save this. And if somebody, you know, if Kevin asks me what I want for Christmas, I'll be like, oh, here's a link. I want a coffee pot. But I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, I really have wanted like this really nice perfume. It's like this Versace one or whatever. And I really like it, but it's like $80 and I'll never buy that. I will never spend that much on perfume. Like I don't know. I can't bring myself to do it. I think that's ridiculous. Even though it smells great and I like it and I'd probably wear it all the time. I just cannot bring myself to spend that much on it.
It's interesting that we do that because I'll buy like a really expensive sweater, but then I won't go buy sweatpants that I wear every day. And I'll just keep wearing the same two that have stains and holes.
And holes. Yep.
And they're like $40-$50 to buy a second pair or a third pair. But I'll go and spend money on a sweater I wear like twice a year.
Yep.
It's so stupid.
I don't know why either, but I'm like, I would tell him to buy me like, you know, a $300, $400 coffee pot, but I wouldn't ask him to spend $80 on perfume, you know, because I feel like, well, coffee pot is more practical. Mm-hmm. Like perfume is stupid. You know, I don't know. It's like this, but I really like thought about it this year and I was like, you know what? If he asks me what I want, I'm going to tell him I really want some perfume. And I'll be like, I like these cons. You can go just get one. I don't care. You know, surprise me. But I think I'm going to ask for something like that, you know, a want versus a need, like something pretty. I don't know. I never do that. And I just like have been thinking about it. And I was like, I should treat myself, you know, and allow someone else to treat me and not just make it practical because I don't know. Did I tell you like when Kevin and I first started dating, it was our first year because we started dating in February. So by Christmas, we had been together a while. Like we knew we were going to be together. Like we both knew right away we were going to get married. And so our first Christmas together, we were at my house, and we were living together by this point too. And we were exchanging gifts, and I open up my gifts and he opens up his, and we just sit there and look at each other and we're like, what the fuck? Kevin finishes opening his gifts and he's like, what are you, my mom? And because I gave him like undershirt, socks, like I gave him all these practical things that I knew he needed.
What are you, my mom?
He's like, what are you, my mom? Because in his family, this was the mentality. In his family, Christmas was a time for gift giving. It wasn't a time that, you know, his family, he was very fortunate growing up that his family didn't necessarily struggle as much financially. So it was a time like you got to ask for things that you really wanted that you didn't get all year. Like you kind of saved up for like something big, like a Nintendo or whatever.
Yeah.
In my family, like my mom was, you know, one of six kids, you know, we were tight on money. So it was like Christmas was a time when you got the things you needed.
And then
it
was maybe like a Barbie and a doll, but you got sweaters and shoes.
Yeah, exactly. It was a lot of, there was like one or two toys, but like a lot of practical stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was things, I mean, I never felt like I did without. I never felt like I was deprived. I always had a great Christmas, you know, like, you know, bicycles and like, you know, stuff like that. Like it was awesome. I'm not saying I like didn't have a great Christmas. I don't want to make it sound like that, but we definitely got like socks, underwear, shit like that.
I did too. Yeah.
Like, you know, shampoo, it was like a gift basket of bath stuff, you know? So it was like, it was really funny. So everything he got me was like sex stuff. It was like vibrators and all that. I'm like, what is happening here? Like, I got five things to put in my butt and you got undershirts. It was so funny. And I was like, okay, we need to have a talk about how we're going to do gifts from now on.
I would have went on the defense after he's like, what are you, my mom? I'm like, what do you think? I'm a sex object?
I was like, wow, what a whore? What is this? No. So yeah, it was so funny though, and like we laughed about it then and we still laugh about it now, but like since then I have known when it comes to like Christmas gifts and birthday gifts, I cannot get him something practical. Like that's not his idea of a gift. He's like, yeah, get me like khakis when I need them throughout the year. Don't save it up for Christmas and give me work shoes. I'm like, okay, I got it. So that's been something we've kind of had to like go through, but I still have the hardest problem with like asking for something, you know, that that is unnecessary, you know, that's not like a need that's pressing. And I went through and I looked on my list that I had saved, like every single thing on there was like one's like a pan to cook on. Like, you know, it's just bore sheets. Like sheets were on the list.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, those things aren't like necessarily not a splurge or not, you know, something that I would enjoy using, but it's not necessarily like it's not like.
Now that you said that, I realized because they each got my kids, like she wants cash and he wants this big gift. He wants this VR thing. Mm-hmm. And I did buy them a few things to unwrap, and I'm like, they're practical things. Like a few sweaters I know she'll like. Because I'm like, well, technically this is only bonus because you guys already spent your limit, but I feel bad not having a few things to unwrap.
I know. That's getting harder too, especially as my oldest is getting older, that like the biggest that she wants are more expensive. Mm-hmm. And my youngest one is like, I just want junk from the dollar store, you know? Yeah. So it's like, you know, there's a big difference between all the presents that my youngest gets to open versus my 12-year-old who's asking for like one or two more pricey things.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's getting harder to do too. But I do find that, you know, I still think about you and your mom every year when you talk about wrap everything, every single thing, you know, everything. Separate wrap at all like that. So, you know, I thought about that as I was wrapping stuff for like my niece and nephew.
She didn't even wrap the stuff in the stockings.
I love that. That's so smart because the kids love unwrapping shit. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind taking a little extra time, if you have it, you know, I know it's hard at the holidays, but if you do have a little extra time, that does make it so much fun for them to just wrap. But even she just loves
her presents are decoration.
Oh, I bet. I remember when she did like the bows and stuff for that one event we did. Your mom is so talented with stuff like that.
She wraps all the presents. She'll even put stuff in bigger boxes than they need to be. Uh-huh. And she sets them all along like by the fireplace. And they have like each is like with beautiful bows and stuff. So it kind of makes sense. It's her decoration and her hobby. And then it's practical because people are going to take it when they're done.
Yeah, exactly. Look. She doesn't have to deal with it.
I cleaned up half the Christmas stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So, you know, I've been kind of thinking about that, like, as I do stuff. And my niece and nephew, or my nieces and my nephew who are older, they're 18, 16, and 13. And so, like, they all wanted shoes. Like, that's the big thing for them is they want shoes. But, you know, those are pricey. So, like, I was like, okay, well, I don't want to just get them like one thing. So I was like, oh, I'll get them some candy and I'll like wrap that up and like put it with it. So they have other things to open. Yeah. It was the same thing where I was like, I just feel bad getting them like one thing, you know, but but yeah. So anyways, that's what's on my to-do list. And then is, you know, finish Christmas shopping, even though like it's, like I said, it's not even December yet. But this Saturday, I'm going to my parents. We have this tradition every year where the women in my family get together and we have a whole day of baking. And we always called it the bake-off. So, and I thought it was funny.
Cheese crackers?
Yes, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to make them. We actually had to have our bake-off. We usually do it the Saturday before Christmas. But the way it falls this year and with everybody's schedule, we had to move it to the first weekend in December. And so I'm like, well, everybody's just going to get their shit early this year, I guess. So that's not bad. But yeah, I make those cheese crackers. And then there's like a couple other things I'm going to do this year. And one of them I'm excited to try because I love chocolate covered cherries. Like, I love it. So there's this cookie I found and it's a dark chocolate, like fudgy cookie. It's small though. It's about like, can you, I don't know if you use it, about that big.
Like an Oreo?
Yeah. And you put a maraschino cherry inside of it and you bake it like that. And then you put a dark chocolate drizzle on top of it and with the cherry in it. And I was like, that sounds really fucking good. Some may do that, but I was telling Lydia about it and I was like, I think this sounds good. And she was like, I think we should take fresh cherries and chop them up and do it that way. So, but that was just like one of the recipes I saw. I was excited.
I would take a white fudge covered Oreo and just put a cherry on top.
And just eat the whole thing. Now, would you do a maraschino cherry or would you do a fresh one?
Maraschino.
Yeah, I like those too. I like them like that. I love them. Especially what are the ones that have like the white stuff in them?
No, you have to get the clear.
You like the clear. Okay. That's my dad. My dad likes, I think that's, I can't ever remember. He's one or the other. I think he likes the clear and not the white.
Because the clear is harder to find.
Yes. And then I think like at my grandparents' house, I think his dad liked the white, but he liked the clear. I can't remember which one it was now, but it's like whoever likes what, they're very specific on it.
Me like and my you mom say, are very specific about
yeah, it. Yeah, I was going to say, does your mom like the clear ones too? Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. I think those are so good, but, you know, I wouldn't mind with the cookie. I wouldn't mind it with the marzipan in it, but I'm not going to go that far, though. All right. Well, we've talked enough about food and Christmas. Let's get to Angelina M. Lopez. Angelina M. Lopez has been writing professionally her whole life. First as a journalist for an acclaimed city newspaper, then as a freelance magazine writer, and now as a romance author. She writes sexy stories about strong women and the worthy men lucky to love them. Her latest release in her high-heat, small-town Latinx series, After Hours on Mar-a-Lago Street and Full Moon Over Freedom, have received 4-star reviews and Audiophile Earphones Award and were named the top 10 romances of the year in the Washington Post. Entertainment Weekly and the Faded Mates podcast. Angelina lives with her family in Houston, Texas, and you can find more about her at her website, angelinamlopez.com and Angelina M. Lo on Instagram. In the stacks that you're about to listen to is a complete standalone. This is what I was talking about last week where she said she thinks this is the dirtiest thing she's ever written, and I'm super excited about it. Angelina M. Lopez's debut book, Lush Money, which I fucking love. Cannot recommend enough. The audio is fantastic. It is about a self-made billionaire businesswoman and an impoverished Spanish prince. She makes a baby deal with him. And that book's on sale this week for $2.99 an ebook from December 4th through December 11th. So make sure you grab it for them.
If you buy the ebook first, the audio price will drop.
Yep. So make sure if you want to get the audio, grab the ebook too if you have a credit or whatever, or see what the price is if you don't have a credit. Check it, because like Mel said, anytime you buy the ebook, the audio book will be discounted. So make sure you check that out. And like I said, the audio is just so good. I've listened to it twice in audio now, and I hardly re-listen to audios, but that one was just so freaking good. The whole series is great. Her giveaway this week is a signed copy of her latest release, Full Moon Over Freedom. It received star reviews from Library Journal and Booklist and was named a top 10 romance of 2023 by the Washington Post, which I thought was really fucking cool. Readers can find more about Angelina M. Lopez on her website at angelinamlopez.com. And like I said, her Instagram is Angelina M. Lope. So let's do it. Let's send them into the stacks.
We'll see you guys on the other side.
This is In the Stacks by Angelina M. Lopez. Read for you by Gregory Salinas. She was too old for this. At 32 years old, Rosalia Salvador felt too old for everything she'd been doing. Quitting her job as an in-house legal counsel, going back to school, moving into a tiny two-bedroom place in Pilsen with three people. Rosalia had been thrilled to get into Loyola University's prestigious Latin Studies program. Talking and learning about her people lit her up in a way that terrifying the workers and protecting her boss's asses hadn't. Then she'd been instantly freaked out about the new student loans. She was deeply grateful that the university had hooked her up with three other non-traditional graduate students who were trying to keep living costs low. But the woman who slept in the other twin bed in their tiny room meant that Rosalia was now doing what she was way too old to be doing back in the stacks of the massive university library. It wasn't her fault books turned her on. And it wasn't just the smell, the dust, and the knowledge imbued in the books. Endless classes and assignments, no downtime, lack of privacy, and the occasional burst of rough men's voices as they worked on the library expansion on the closed floors above her conspired to make this private nook at the far end of the stacks with its 50s-era wooden desk and pull-chain lamp a perfect spot for a little me time. The lure had been irresistible on Tuesday when she'd come across some inspiring pictures while reading Lopez Austin's Sexuality and Mesoamerican Tradition. To make it easier today, she'd worn a skirt. With her books and notes piled high around her, and her knee up on the desk edge, Rosalia bit her lip to hold back a whimper, and eyes closed behind her glasses, imagined being a beautiful Awiame giving pleasure to a group of victorious warriors returned home from battle. Her finger worked faster as she thought of one of the Jaguar warriors, the teeth in the pelt he wore occasionally brushing the inside of her thighs, while the other smelling of copal and wildfires thrust between her. Hey. She ripped her hand out of her panties as she saw a man in a tight white t-shirt and jeans standing beside her in the aisle, a hard hat under his arm and both hands held out. Although he looked like one of the dark-skinned, hook-nosed, black-haired warriors out of her fantasies, that didn't stop her instinct to scream. Shh, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna hurt you, he whispered urgently, dark brown eyes wide. Just, quick, put your knee down. He actually touched her knee. The searing heat of his fingers made her lurch upright, her foot stomping to the tile. Shh, he shot out again, then put down his hands. What's the commotion back here? A squint-eyed male librarian said as he shoved a book cart around the corner. Rosalia had had a run-in with the man when she'd tried to check out a mislabeled reference book. The little Napoleon had acted like she was stealing the crown jewels. Beneath the desk, she made sure her skirt was pulled down over her thigh-high tights. No problem, sir, the construction worker said quickly. He pulled a yellow meter out of his back pocket and held it up, his sensuous mouth stretching into a wide, convincing smile. The ugly halogens overhead glowed and his short, dark hair brushed back into neat waves. Just down here taking sound readings and I startled this poor lady. The librarian's eyes narrowed impossibly more. Don't make me talk to your foreman again. The worker's smile went wider. He He had the whitest teeth and a dimple. No worries. The librarian gave her and her desk a suspicious once-over before he pushed the cart slowly down the long aisle. Rosalia kept her eyes on his rust-colored cardigan until he turned the corner at the far end, her humiliation rising to her tortoiseshell glasses. Sorry, the worker said low beside her. His voice was velvety soft. I didn't want that asshole catching you doing that. She planted her elbows on the desk and covered her face. Oh my God, she moaned, beyond mortified. I would have been banned from the library and charged with public indecency. The banning from the library would have actually been the worst part. She didn't have to start her thesis until next year, but she needed these resources. I am so sorry. This poor man. What a thing to stumble upon. You're just trying to do your job and you come down here to find some pervert. Hey, he said gruffly, cutting her off. Look, I did come down on Tuesday to take sound readings. Today, when my foreman tried to send one of my buddies, I... he cleared his throat. I volunteered. She spread her fingers and looked between them.
You were watching?
She whispered shrilly. She'd seen more people today in Section 972 than she'd seen since she'd discovered this preciously private nook a month ago. Yeah, he said. His eyes met hers cautiously. He had the darkest, thickest lashes. Yeah, I was watching you. He didn't look away. He was younger than she was, probably in his late 20s. But as she watched the muscles work in his jaw where an afternoon shadow was already appearing, she thought that maybe he wasn't that much younger. The way he was watching her certainly didn't make her feel old. He pressed his lips together. They were really good lips, and her mouth went dry. Rosalia lowered her hands and pulled again at the edge of her corduroy skirt. He leaned on one work boot and lowered his hard hat to tap it against his hard thigh. On Tuesday, when I saw you doing your business, I turned around and left, coming back in here today to find you. His voice dipped low. Touching yourself again. The side of his mouth cocked into a wary smile. Honey, I'm sorry, but my halo's a little too bent to be that much of a saint. What would she have done if she'd stumbled upon this specimen in what he thought was a private moment, seeing him with his eyes closed and strong chest heaving, stroking himself through those worn jeans? She blinked the steam from her eyes. What's a sound reading? He handed her the meter. Part of our contract with the library says we have to keep construction noise below a certain decibel level. We walk through and check it. As she reached for the meter, he hung on a second too long. I'm going to be doing all the testing from now on. She huffed a helpless laugh and rolled her eyes as he let go.
All future testing will be uneventful.
No judgment, sweetheart. But why were you doing that here in the first place? His gentle sweethearts and honeys were sprinkles on the way he was looking at her. She couldn't remember the last time she'd been looked at that way. Her high-paying corporate job hadn't allowed any more time for it than her academic poverty. Your man not taking good care of you? She ran her thumb over the gauge of the meter.
There's no time for a man.
She put the meter down and began rummaging through her stack of books.
There's no time for anything but classes and classwork and...
She told him about her small shared room and sleeping roommate and packed schedule as she found what she was looking for, then flipped to the right page.
On Tuesday, I saw this.
She handed him the open book. She watched him take in the ancient illustration of a feather-capped woman, enjoying her place as the filling in a Mexican soldier's sandwich. He gave a wide-eyed, huh.
He looked a little longer.
Then he shifted his hips and cleared his throat. Who knew this filth was hiding in the library shelves? He mused. Maybe I should have invited my buddies down to... He looked up with a devilish smile when she made a sound. totally kidding, sweetheart. He smiled like a naughty altar boy. Only kidding. He took another long look before he closed the book reverently and handed it back to her. She put it on top of her stack, then handed him his meter. When he took it, their fingers brushed, and the spark raced all the way up her arm. My cousins are on this job too, and we're all living together to save money to start our own construction company, he said, returning the meter to his back pocket. Living and working together with no money for going out, I gotta build my private time around their food and beer runs. Doesn't make for a very satisfying experience. I'm sorry if I ruined yours. He lifted the hard hat and put it under his bulging brown bicep. It would be a short trip to returning to his head. Thank you for protecting me, she said softly. She lowered her eyes to her lap and hoped he'd leave without making her watch him go. The hot jerk just stood there in the aisle. I want you to know, he said low and soft. When I saw you working yourself with your eyes squeezed tight behind your glasses, so lost in making yourself feel good, I thought I was hallucinating. My cousins say I walk around with my head in the clouds, but you, truly, are a perfect fucking fantasy. Life had been so real lately. It was a good real, but it underlined the fact that adulting was hard. The last thing Rosalia had thought she had the capacity to be in all her good but hard realness was a decent man's perfect fantasy. She pushed up her glasses before they slipped off her nose. Really? Hope and happiness and heat flashed over his face. Hell yes. He swallowed, the motion obvious in his strong neck as he stood close in her little nook. You know the only thing that's missing? She shook her head, her ponytail swishing against her sweater. Seeing you come. She put her hand over her mouth without looking away. His velvety words seemed to float like bath bubbles in the tiny space. She couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe this was happening. She couldn't believe what she was contemplating. But the delighted smile he gave her echoed the one behind her hand. Sweet Jesus, baby, look at the way you blush. Smart and sweet and hot as fuck. He went down on his knees on the tile. Look, I'll shut the fuck up, he murmured as he shuffled closer. He smelled like plaster dust and the last whiff of aftershave. I'll go back to my hiding place. You won't even know I'm alive. But please, 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 baby. Each please got a little more groany. Please finish what I so rudely interrupted. She shoved the words out of her mouth before she chickened out. Do you want to stay here and watch? He fell back onto his heels and closed his eyes. Fuck, he groaned. His lashes were thick and black against his skin. He adjusted his hard-on in his jeans, not even trying to hide it, before he dropped his hand. He opened his gorgeous eyes. Yeah, please. I like the way you talk to me, Rosalia said, her fingers curling on the desk. No one's ever talked to me like this before. This time he did give himself a good stroke. You like a dirty mouth? He asked. You like the words? She nodded again. Good goddamn. She winced as he flicked the pole of his cock like he was keeping it in line. Okay. He got back up on his knees and slid closer. He put his hard hat on the old tile, then reached for her right hand on the desk. He stopped just before his fingers touched her skin. May I? He asked, serious as he met her eyes. He'd seen her masturbating in public. She'd just given him permission to watch her do it again. And yet he still asked before he touched her. The moment felt loaded with something she couldn't untangle as she nodded, then verbalized, yes. His workman's fingers slipped over her pen calluses as he lifted her right hand from the desk. And again, the heat from his touch was uniquely heart-shocking. Because I'm wired special, he said, stroking his darker thumb over her index and middle fingers. I haven't forgotten that while you were covering your face with your hands, then touching my meter, then showing me the dirty pictures in your book, these two fingers were getting tacky with your pussy juice. Oh, God. Let me just... Rosalia saw his intent the second before he did it, and her eyes went wide as he slid her fingers in between his soft, amazing lips. He watched her as he sucked, slowly pulling her fingers out, and she could feel the stroke of his tongue between her legs, like the world's most erotic acupressure. With her fingers glistening, he closed his eyes to swallow her taste down and murmured, "Sweetness, sweet honey girl." He licked between her fingers and she squirmed. "That tickle?" he asked, smiling hungrily. She nodded and heard herself panting.
"I bet you know all the ticklish places on women."
"What women? There's just you." He tongued the pads of her fingers. "You, tasting like ink and paper and big fancy words and dirty thoughts." He tilted his head in gently bitter knuckle. "I can't think about anything but your soft, wet, ticklish places." Was he dreaming about what he could do with that mouth just like she was? He swirled his tongue around her buzzing fingers one last time. "There. Your fingers are all wet and shiny again. You ready?" She was. With her fingers quivering and her pussy weeping onto the hard chair, she was more than ready. But there was fantasizing, and then there was actually touching yourself in front of a stranger.
"Hey, you want to put your knee back up on the desk?" he asked gently, like he could sense her hesitation. "You've got the prettiest knee I've ever seen."
"You've never seen my knee."
He was handing her lines, but they were the distraction she needed. The sturdy wooden chair creaked as she leaned back in it, then rested the leg closest to him against the desk edge. He stroked those strong fingers over her kneecap in reward.
"These black tights make it better than seeing your leg naked. I feel like I'm getting away with something in the middle of mass."
Church on Sundays had always seemed strangely sexy to her, too. She put her other knee up on the desk edge, and he grunted, "Yeah," in appreciation. He licked his bottom lip as he looked at her thick black stockings and brown corduroy skirt, and it had her stroking her hand up the inside of her thigh as he watched. Her skirt bunched up at her wrist, preventing him from seeing her fully when her hand brushed hair. Suddenly he said,
"Wait, are those?"
He was glaring at the thigh that faced him.
"Are you wearing fucking thigh highs?"
A strip of brown skin showed between her skirt and the heavy black stocking. He stared like he was cold-cocked at a thigh that hadn't seen a gym in months.
"Well, that's it," he growled. "Now I'm gonna have to quit this job. I can't walk around with a hard-on every time I'm in the library."
She laughed and combed her fingers through her curls.
"You've got a great laugh," he groaned.
She separated her pussy lips and dabbed with a finger.
"I love your voice."
She was juicy wet.
"I'm glad you like my voice."
He watched her face as she lightly stroked her clit. She tilted her hips. He saw that too, and brushed her finger over her entrance.
"It gets lower when I'm..."
She pushed inside with the fingertip christened by his mouth. She heard how wet she was, kneeling so close to her. He heard it too.
"Fuck," he huffed again. "I'm trying to keep my cool here, pretty girl, but..."
He swallowed, staring where her hand and skirt concealed what she was doing.
"Can I see?"
Potential disaster was right there on the horizon.
"What if someone comes?"
He smiled, but it was more like baring his teeth.
"I promise you someone's going to come, but no one is going to see you."
She saw the oath in his eyes. "I'll never let anyone hurt you." It made no sense that she believed him. Keeping her right hand covering herself, she used her left hand to hitch her skirt up around her hips. She slid her knees further apart on the desk edge. The warmth of him was an inch away from her right leg. Then took in what he saw. Two perfectly serviceable breasts under a navy blue sweater, brown corduroy skirt like a belt, long expanse of naked brown thighs with a hand between them, and black stockings ringing them.
"Baby girl," his voice came out strangled. "Did you forget your panties today?"
More aroused than she'd ever been in her life, Rosalia began to thrum her clit.
"I knew I was going to do this."
Her heart pounded in her ears.
"It's why I wore a skirt and thigh highs."
She gave a little whimper as she hit the perfect spot.
"When I was walking through the library, I was afraid I was going to drip down my leg."
She spread her pussy lips with her free hand so he could see everything. With his gorgeous face a foot away from this glistening heart of her, he grunted like she'd punched him.
"Look at the color of your cunt. It's so pretty. Your clit's so shiny and swollen."
Rosalia had been with good lovers, kind lovers. Early in her career, she'd even been engaged. But she'd never been with a man so viscerally sexual. It was like he didn't know he was supposed to be shy or ashamed.
"It's you,"
she moaned, the wet of her audible as she fingered her clit.
"Your words, your voice, your face."
Like she'd beckoned it, he leaned over her lap.
"Baby, you're so rough on that clit. What did that sweet little thing ever do to you?"
She could feel his warm breath against her skin and wetness. He had to know what he was doing. She pushed the middle finger of her left hand inside.
"Yeah, get in there."
The low register of his voice vibrated against her G-spot.
"You touching something good in there, baby? God damn, look at the way you work your hips."
"Bachata,"
she babbled. But rather than laughing at her, he said,
"Fuck you and your fucking bachata."
And in this private corner in the back of the library, with this growling stranger shadowing her and staring at her exposed pussy like he was starving, his words shouldn't have been so overwhelmingly arousing.
"Listen to it," he groaned between gritted teeth, his chest now touching her rocking thigh as his eyes roamed over her. "Listen to that sweet slapping wet. You beat that pretty cunt. I can smell you, fuck, I can smell you. I want to taste you so bad I'm drooling."
"Yes, please,"
she begged. And suddenly his words, her hand, and the momentum of their bodies stopped. He looked at her like she was handing him the incorporation papers for his construction company.
"I wasn't going to ask. You're letting me have so much already. But yeah, baby, please. Let me taste you. Please, baby."
Like she hadn't already begged. She pulled her hands from between her legs and turned her body on the wooden chair so her left knee squeaked to the edge of the desk and her right leg lolled out for him.
"Yeah,"
he moaned with appreciation, slipping her right knee over his shoulder as she supported herself with her hands. Her butt was on the edge of the seat and she was spread wide for him.
"Fuck," he said, staring between her legs. "Is that all for me, sweet girl?"
She looked above his head and saw the rows of metal shelves, the endless spines of books, the pallid wall color that should have made the stacks depressing, but for her just didn't. His huge, hot, calloused hand stroked up her thighs, and she wondered if she'd had an aneurysm back here and gone to heaven.
"You sure all that wet and ripe and shiny is for me?"
he said, the puffs of his warm breath making her wetter and riper.
"You sure there wasn't someone else under the desk getting you dripping and ready? Maybe you were letting some other guy lick your cunt while I was thinking about sucking those sweet hard nipples we haven't even talked about yet. Maybe we could get him to tongue fuck you nice and slow while I gently feed you my cock."
It was exactly what she'd been fantasizing when he'd saved her, and she spasmed with a full body shiver, making him chuckle.
"You're a tease,"
she whined, squirming to get closer to that beautiful mouth. He grinned cruelly. Sweetheart, I'll keep talking to this pretty pussy all day if it makes you shiver like that. He pursed his lips and blew a long, hot breath against her wetness. She'd never had time for guile. She looked him straight in the eyes, then stroked her knee against his jawline. The thing I want most in the world is for you to make me come. All the tease dropped out of him like a water balloon. He turned his chin and rubbed it against her thigh. Fuck, your skin is soft. I'll do whatever you want, as long as you want. He looked again between her legs. Tilt your hips up for me. Trembling, she did, used the leverage of the seat and the desk and his shoulder to raise herself closer as he hunkered down. His deep, dark eyes met hers over the arch of her pelvis. Now watch me, okay? You watch me. Don't take your eyes off what I'm doing to you. Gently, he spread her open with two fingers. He looked and she felt his panting breath against her. Then he leaned in and tasted one soft, tongue-stroking kiss. She had to tighten her lower body to keep her thighs from slamming closed with the pleasure. He gave 2, 3, 4 soft, searching kisses, tilting his head each time before he focused on her clit and sucked. She moaned deep down in her belly. He gripped her hip hard with his free hand. Sweet sugar girl, he said softly, looking at the way he was making her drip. Your clit's my sugar pop. He lifted her higher to his mouth and bit the tender skin at the top of her thigh before diving back in, focused and relentless. She was entirely up on her hands, eyes squeezed tight and both thighs straddling his strong shoulders when she heard him command, cover that mouth. She hadn't realized she'd closed her eyes. What? She gasped. Oh God, his lips were shiny with her. You're getting too loud in the library. You can't keep quiet. I'm gonna have to drag you down here on the floor and give you something to keep you quiet. She gasped and shook against his jaw. You like that? He grunted. You like the thought of me filling your mouth with my cock while I go to town on your pussy? She didn't need a gangbang of warriors. She just needed one. This time, she rolled her hips and stroked her pussy against his chin. Yeah, he said, triumphant light in his eyes. Bathe my face. He leaned in and licked at her entrance before thrusting his tongue in. She widened her thighs as his thumb massaged her clit. Yeah, he growled into her. Poor baby girl's already spasming around my tongue. You close? He thrust and sucked and bit. What if I tickle my tongue like this? What if I... She swallowed her shriek and started thrusting her hips. Ride my fucking face, you dirty, filthy girl. She did, and she was close, so wonderfully, astonishingly out of control close. But then he shoved her hips back to the seat, and he stopped eating her out to stick 2 fingers in his mouth. And then he was... He watched her relentlessly as he pushed, then pulsed those 2 fingers into her desperate, clinging pussy. Listen to it, he hissed, dabbing at her clit with his tongue. Listen to the sound of my fingers fucking you. She slapped her hand over her mouth because she couldn't keep the moans back anymore. God, you're everything I want. He tongued her clit hard while he worked her. I'm never gonna be able to look at a book again without coming. Breath shooting hard between his teeth, he looked down at her clit, her writhing hips, his fingers taking her between her legs. Then his eyes, the eyes of an empathetic priest and a pillaging soldier, met hers. Stuff your fist in your mouth, 'cause I'm gonna make you fucking scream. His muscles, his arm, his thrusting fingers, his opulent lips, his sucking mouth, his endless lashes, the sweat on his brow. Everything went white, and Rosalia had the most explosive orgasm of her life,
with a stranger in the back of the stacks at the library. When she was able to lift her head above the ocean of pleasure, she realized her feet were back on the ground. Her skirt had been pulled neatly down. A gorgeous construction worker was at her feet, his heart beating fast against her knees, his head resting in her lap. Her fingers were combing through the back of his short, sweat, damp hair.
"Did I stay quiet?" she asked.
"Nope," he said without opening his eyes. "You really did find the most private spot in the library." She relaxed back and floated, resisting letting reality back in. She didn't know his name. He hadn't asked for hers. They hadn't even kissed. "Do you know the last time eating pussy made me come?" She laughed, delighted. His arms squeezed where they were loosely circled around her hips. "Laugh it up, Giggles. Your skirt covers your sins. I'm gonna have to grab a clean pair of jeans out of my truck without anyone noticing I look like a happily used cum dump at a sex club." He turned his head, buried his nose in her skirt between her legs, and inhaled deeply. "If you've got the time, I'll be ready to go again in a minute," he said, muffled into the corduroy. Before she had an instant to list all the ways it was a terrific and horrible idea, he lifted his head. Then she heard them too. Footsteps were coming down the opposite aisle. He held onto the bolted down desk to get himself to his feet on legs that looked shaky, and she stood as well, put a hand on his chest as the world whirled, then stepped neatly in front of him and the large wet stain on his jeans as one of Rosalia's classmates turned the corner into the row in front of her.
"Rosalia," the woman exclaimed, "is this where I find the stuff on the Guachichiles' defeat of the Spanish? I'm glad you're here. It was so dark and grungy back in these stacks, I'm afraid I'm going to get mobbed."
"Rosalia," he murmured behind her. From the corner of her eye, she saw him swipe at his mouth with his palm.
"Oh,"
the classmate startled to see him.
"Hello."
She looked at Rosalia curiously.
"He was taking sound measurements of the construction work and we were..."
Rosalia ran out of words. What were they doing? What was she doing? What had she been thinking? She didn't know him, had no idea if she could trust him. And she was way too old to be risking her new life on a handsome young man with dark eyes and a deep voice and a shared private time problem and a gentle kink that perfectly matched hers.
"We were just making plans to meet for coffee," he said smoothly after too long of a pause. "Rosalia, if you can walk me upstairs, I'll grab my phone and get your digits."
He turned to walk down the aisle, keeping his front concealed from her classmate, and Rosalia had no choice but to follow him. When she glanced over her shoulder, the woman gave her two enthusiastic thumbs up. Rosalia was glad the library was in its lunchtime lull. She was able to get him outside into his truck parked in the library lot without incident, while mentally drafting a firm, responsible, and entirely depressing message explaining why this could never, ever, ever happen again. Fall had come early this year, and leaves were already skittering on the ground. "I'm busy," he said before she could open her mouth, putting his key in the lock. The truck was old but clean. "You're busy. Neither of us have much in the way of extra money or time." That was the thing about fantasies. They were best left in the realm of make-believe. She hadn't needed to worry about her let-him-down-easy message. He'd been busy composing one of his own. He opened the door, pulled a duffel from behind the seat, and retrieved jeans from it. His back to her, he also pulled a wet wipe out of the canister, and to her mortification, wiped his face with it. He shoved the duffel back behind the seat, then turned to face her with a small smile and jeans in hand. "Job can get messy," he said. She wanted the pavement to open up and swallow her whole. He used the jeans to point over her shoulder. "There's a picnic table over there where I like to eat lunch. Sometimes it feels like the only place in the world where I can be alone." She turned and saw a green picnic table under a huge oak tree with widespread limbs, the top of the tree already turning gold. A bed of yellow, red, and orange mums planted at the corner of the library was its backdrop. It was a pretty spot, just far enough from the main thoroughfare to go unnoticed by the students streaming by. "Even though you're busy,
you gotta stop and eat, right? For the first time, she heard nerves in his voice. I'd love it if you'd join me, when you want. Rosalia faced him and instantly threw away her firm and responsible answer.
I'd like that, she said, smiling at his relief.
And maybe... He took a step closer, and so did she. I'm making no assumptions here, but if you need some private time, you'll let me help you out again? Maybe we can find a place more private than the Stacks.
This beautiful man was so sweet and young, and obviously needed her wisdom and experience. She turned to take a heated look at the crystal clear solution to their problem, then looked at him with an eyebrow raised. His smile grew as he turned to look inside his truck as well. The big front seat was long and wide and welcoming. The end.
This has been In the Stacks by Angelina M. Lopez, read for you by Gregory Salinas.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, lady listeners. Thank you so much to Angelina M. Lopez for allowing us to play In the Stacks. We're so grateful for you coming back to the podcast. And if I email you next year, please just remember how much I love you. And thank you. Please don't ignore me if I ask you to come back again and again and again and again. This is like cheating because I feel like it's my own way of getting like audiobooks from her. I'm like, hey, why don't you just bring me for the podcast? So up next week, we have Alexandria House, and I'm so excited. I followed her on Instagram for a while, and she's great. And she reached out. She is giving us an audiobook, so it's a holiday short. Super excited to play it. So make sure you join us back for that. For Alexa Riley, make sure you join. Well, just in general for you listening, make sure you join our Read Me Romance headquarters. We are doing a 12 days of Christmas giveaway from now until Christmas, and it's a lot of good stuff. So make sure you just join the Facebook group and hang out, and you can enter to win all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we generally make it super easy to enter. It's not complicated.
No, you just like comment below. Like, you don't have to do follows or anything like that. All you have to do is be in the group, comment below, and I just pick random winners. So
you probably say something funny or dirty, she'll probably pick you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. If you comment my hair, especially, that's what it's going to be like, you're so pretty. I'm like, oh my God, you won. Wow. So yeah, make sure you do that. And for Alexa Riley, make sure you check us out. We've got a couple of new releases coming out soon. So before Christmas, so make sure you follow along for those. So,
all right. Tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Read me romance, read me romance, read me romance, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine, or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read.